Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Swasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So yesterday we heard the story of Gopakumar and how he began searching for the deity of his mantra, and he went throughout the material world all the way up to Brahmaloka, and finally the Supreme Lord told him, go back to material world, or earth planet, and there you go to Vrindavan, and there you will find your Lord. So Gopakumar returned to Mathura area, and he found that actually he was in Brahmaloka, so actually time on earth would have passed a lot, but since he was there for some time, and he ruled in Brahmaloka for some time, but when he got back, Mathura was the same. Everywhere else was different in the whole world, but this Vrindavan of the material world was the same as it was before. So the same forests and mountains and rivers, the same animals were all there. Not only that, but then he met his guru again. So this is the third time he met his guru after a long, long time. And his guru told him a little bit more about the mantra, how to use the mantra, how to meditate using his mantra. Previously, he promised that you will, through this mantra, you will see the Supreme Lord, you know, the Lord of the universe, and you'll have your same body as a cowherd later on. He also blessed him this time that by the power of the mantra, he will be able to know everything about the mantra and everything in sadhana through that mantra. So in other words, the guru didn't have to teach him everything about sadhana and sadhya, which is the goal. It would be revealed through the mantra itself. So then, by some miracle, he got a spiritual body. And he was able to travel through the universe, through all the various layers of planets, etc., through the sun, and he could see all these different places. Of course, the sun is actually very low, and he saw the upper planets until Brahmaloka, and then he saw the coverings of the universe. So inside the universe we have all the, you know, planets that we know about, like Mars and Venus and Sun and Moon on the Svarga area, heavenly, and above that we got Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka. And then beyond that, there is covering of the universe, like a coconut shell. And inside we have coconut water and all that, so that's where the universe is. And outside that is a shell, but this shell is not like a coconut shell, it's much thicker. And it's made out of layers, each 10 times thicker than the next. So in other words, this shell becomes very huge, and the universe is a little thing like this. The middle of the universe is huge like this, because the shell is very huge, because 10 times, each layer is 10 times bigger than the next, so it becomes huge. So we have all the different elements, and they're all in different layers. But these layers are quite different from the material layers that we know. It's not like, you know, thick earth layer and a thick water layer like that. These are very subtle elements, and within these layers we have devatas who are in charge of that, and they have all sorts of enjoyments. It's much better than Svargaloka. So they're actually like planetary systems, all these layers. So Gopakumar went through all these different layers. So the first covering was the earth layer. And the Lord who was worshipped there was Varahadev, a huge boar form. That is appropriate because we know from Bhagavatam that Varaha saved the earth, or the Bhumandala, when it was sinking in the Garbhadak Ocean. Often when they do worship in India, when they do like ceremonies for establishing temples, etc., they'll worship Varaha as the earth deity, to keep the earth steady. So Varaha was the object of worship there, and he presided over that. And it was full of all sorts of wealth and spectacular things. So it wasn't just a bunch of dirt, the heavenly place. And then successively he went to the different layers, the water layer. So then Matsya, the fish avatar, was the presiding deity of that area, which is natural also. And then he went to the fire layer, and there Suryadev, the sun deity, was in charge of that. He went to the air layer, and Pradyumna was in charge. He went to the ether layer, and Aniruddha was in charge. He went to the ego layer, and Sankarshan was in charge. And then he went to the Mahatattva layer, and Vasudev, a Vishnu form, was in charge. So in this way, he went through the different layers, and he saw the great opulence of each level with the deities and people worshipping them. Then after Mahatattva layer, which is a very fine form of matter, he came to the Prakriti level, which is very, very subtle. And this is the biggest layer of all. And Mohini avatar was in charge of that woman, Mohini avatar. So we usually think of Maya Devi as Durga Devi, but here the form of the Lord was in charge. That was Mohini Murti. And she greeted Gopakumar and said, I'll give you liberation. But he was not interested in the liberation. So, then he went beyond that place. We find in other Puranas, there's a place called Mahakalapura, which is, we can say, like the Karana Ocean, or Vishnu resides there. In the Karna Ocean. So this is above the layers of Prakriti. And this looked like the highest place. But unfortunately, it was more or less like Brahman. It was very impersonal with light everywhere. When he got involved in this, then it was a little bit distracting for him. He surrendered to his deity, who was Krishna, to get him out of this position of merging into this light. However, it wasn't completely impersonal, because in that area was were Shiva and Parvati. Of course, Shiva was a great devotee of the Lord, so therefore he was praising the Supreme Lord and singing and dancing. And he was also surrounded by his followers. He was involved in devotional service, and these followers of Lord Shiva, they were devotees of Lord Shiva, so they would take Lord Shiva as non-different from Vishnu. Of course, we know that Shiva is like a form of Vishnu with lesser manifestation of powers, but they consider him very great, like Vishnu himself. We consider them slightly different. All those devotees, they were praising Lord Shiva, etc. And even Ganesh was there, and Ganesh was then explained to Gopakumar, when the Vishnu Dutas somehow arrived there, then Gopakumar is wondering, who are these people, where do they come from? And then Ganesh begins to explain that these are the servants of Vishnu. And these servants are free to go anywhere within the universe or outside the universe. And they save the devotees. And of course he refers to how the when people are dying, if they chant the Lord's name, even once in Namabhas, then they get delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. So that's a reference to the case of Ajamil, who was delivered by the Vishnu Dutas because he chanted Narayan's name. So the Vishnu Dutas wandered throughout the universe, and when somebody chants the name, they come down and save him. So the Vishnu Dutas are very merciful, in other words. So Gopakumar was interested in them. So, Shiva himself explained that if you want to attain Vishnu, then you have to have complete dedication, pure bhakti, with no selfish motives. You have to give up all of the processes. and just all other desires, and completely worship the Supreme Lord with devotion. So that's the perfection of all religious life. However, when you've done your duties in the material world and surrendered to the Lord, that's actually not the highest stage. You get higher mercy by which you can go beyond whatever is there, and you can get up to Brahmaloka. And if you get more mercy, you can become like Lord Shiva and go to Shiva's planet. If you get more mercy than that, 100 times more mercy, you can go to Vaikuntha. So in other words, you can get various types of mercy, but ultimately the highest mercy is to get to Vaikuntha, even beyond Shiva's place. So the Vishnu Dutas also spoke. So they told Gopakumar that to reach Vaikuntha, you have to practice the 9 types of devotional service, such as hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, deity worship, complete surrender, offering prayers, acting like a servant, acting like a friend, etc. So those 9 principal types of devotional service. So you have to do those in a very pure way, then you can get to Vaikuntha. You have to worship the scriptures like Bhagavatam and hear them regularly. You have to hear the pastimes of the Lord, etc. So in this way, by doing pure bhakti, then you can get to Vaikuntha. So the Vishnu Dutas began to glorify devotional service and kirtan. Previously, of course, Gopakumar was already doing devotional service. He was attracted to the worship of the different Vishnu forms. Then he went up to, you know, Svargaloka and up to Brahmaloka, and he saw the Lord there. So he was already involved in worship. But now the Vishnu Dutas are giving more details about bhakti. So in the beginning, we do devotional service using our senses, our body, and our mind. So that is the definition of sadhana bhakti. As one advances and becomes mature, all those actions are no longer simply actions of the body, mind, etc., but they're spontaneous expressions of the Lord's mercy. So we don't have to put effort into these things. They're expressions of the mercy of the Lord, expressions of devotion to the Lord. So they're very spontaneous. So there's 2 levels of bhakti. And among all the different practices, they emphasize Nama Sankirtan. This is the main process. So this is something that Gopakumar had not done before. So it is particularly suitable if you want to attain Krishna. Very, very powerful for attaining Krishna. So the Vishnu Dutas said they also believe in chanting as the most excellent form of bhakti, and therefore when a person like Ajamil simply uttered the name Narayana, then the Vishnu Dutas came and saved him. So previously the people on Tapaloka were glorifying Smaranam, or meditation and, you know, using your mind. But here the Vishnu Dutas is saying better than Smaranam, better than remembrance, is chanting the name of the Lord. It's more powerful. So by logic, the sages on Tapaloka were trying to convince Gopakumar that he should meditate, and that all other forms engaging in senses ultimately led to Smaranam, because the mind is the main sense. So here the Vishnu Dutas disagree, and they say no. Chanting the holy name is superior to Smaranam. So, why is it better? Chanting involves speech, that's the natural thing we hear about, but it also involves hearing and the mind. So it's 3 things combined. So, It helps you, helps the person who's practicing and chanting, because he can concentrate his mind, he can also hear as well as chant. But the other advantage is others can hear, and therefore they get benefit also. So if you just do meditation, nobody else gets any benefit. So Nam Sankirtan is the benefit of helping others, delivering others. This, of course, was also stated in Haridas Thakur in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the holy name is great because not only you get benefit, but all other living entities get benefit because they hear the name. So, if one can use the sense of speech, that is, proper doing kirtan, then ultimately we can bring the mind under control. And then we can begin to remember the Lord. So this is a way in which we can also get remembrance. But we use chanting the holy name, and through that we bring about remembrance of the Lord. So thus is a combination of things. But the main process is the chanting process. So, when one has taste, we may get satisfaction from different processes. So we saw the people in Tapaloka were doing meditation, so they praise that process. In other places, they may be doing deity worship, so therefore that process get praised. So different people have different attractions, and for different people, one particular process is the most effective, and they say that's the best process. So there's nothing wrong with that, because bhakti is absolute. So it's the best method for them. But in general, the Nam Sankirtan process is considered to be the best. Sankirtan expands the joy of meditation, and meditation expands the joy of kirtan. So they actually mutually support each other, meditation and Sankirtan. So they're actually one process. So this is the explanation of the Vishnu Dutas. So again, they emphasize the fact that chanting Krishna's names is the best process of all, and this will is the easiest process by which you can get Krishna prema. In the material world, we have mantras which have a material purpose. So by those mantras, you can get different things. You have mantras for wealth, mantras for siddhis of various sorts, and then you get various things. This chanting the names of the Krishna will give you the best thing of all, that is Krishna prema. The name is a sadhana for people in this material world, but it is also the goal. So as I said previously, you can do bhakti as a sadhana, but also there's a spontaneous level where it is an expression of your feeling of love for Krishna. So we do it as a sadhana at this point because we don't have prema. And when you have prema, then Nam Sankirtan is an expression of prema. So it's eternal. We do it as a sadhana, we do it as the final goal. It's both things. So if one has a person has prema, then what is the sign? He'll be chanting the name of the Lord. It's automatic. We find there's evidence of this in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. We see in the 10th canto is a description of the gopis, not only the gopis in love with Krishna, but even the elder gopis who are doing household chores and churning the yogurt into butter, etc. What are they doing? They're all chanting Krishna's name, glorifying Krishna. And in the Rasleela, when Krishna disappeared, all the gopis became very disturbed, and finally they found Radha, who was the gopi that Krishna went away with. She was also left there. So they searched for Krishna, and they couldn't find him anywhere in the deep forest. So they didn't know what to do. The footprints disappeared, and the forest got more dense, and became darker, like that. So they were very bewildered. So they went to the bank of the Jamuna where it was open and the moonlight was shining very nicely. And they were greatly aggrieved because Krishna had disappeared. And they were in separation. So then they did kirtan. And then suddenly Krishna appeared. So then I think it's Vishnu Chakravarti says, this shows that the name is the most powerful to bring Krishna, even for the gopis. So when they did kirtan, then Krishna appeared. So the Vishnudutas, who were actually from Vaikuntha, they praise Gopukumar because you've got the mercy of Krishna. And therefore, when the people of Tapaloka were trying to convince Gopukumar to do meditation instead, he wouldn't do that. He wanted to see the Supreme Lord directly. So in that way, he was an outstanding devotee of the Lord. So he desires to see the Lord directly. He already saw Vishnu on Brahmaloka and in Svargaloka, etc. Lord is personally there. But he actually wanted to see a different form of the Lord. So that's why he kept wandering around in different places. So he wanted to see Krishna, actually. So wanting to see the Lord, we may think is kind of materialistic. But actually, it's not just seeing the Lord. Seeing the Lord also implies serving the Lord. So the actual desire is to directly serve the Supreme Lord in a personal form. So when one sees the Lord, then one engages in his service and one gets extreme joy. So seeing him and meeting him is the goal of hearing and chanting, etc. Then we can serve him directly. And again, when we do that, how do we serve? We chant his name again. So the Vishnudutas, they gave all this lecture on chanting the name and on pure devotional service. He had gone to Mathura on the order of the Lord on Brahmaloka. Then he went up and he met Lord Shiva. And then they tell him, now you have to go back to Mathura. Go back down again. Of course, now he has a spiritual body. Because he got a spiritual body to go beyond the material universe, etc. So he goes back to Vrindavan. There he meets his guru again. Here his guru is called Jayanta. He actually gets a name now. The guru has a name. And he performs devotional service and he experiences prema, chanting the Lord's name. So he followed the instructions of the Vishnudutas and he chanted Krishna's name. As he chanted, then the Vishnudutas appeared with their four-handed forms and a vehicle also. Then they offered him a four-handed form also, but he refused. Because he was more interested in Krishna. He didn't like the four-handed form so much. So these Vishnu Dutas took him again throughout the material worlds, upwards through the layers, etc., and through Shiva's abode, and then finally to Vaikuntha. So again, he's passing through the worlds like he had done previously. So there's an elaborate description of how Gopukumar has to wait outside the gates of Vaikuntha while the Vishnudutas go in to arrange for a meeting of Gopukumar with the Supreme Lord. So it's a very fabulous place and people are going in and out the gates. They have qualification to go in and out. He can't go in because he's not yet qualified. And he saw various people come in and then they were so attractive that they had four arms, so he thought they were actually Vishnu himself. They were so attractive. They looked exactly like the Lord. And he made a mistake and he would call out to them and offer his respects and they would plug their ears and say, no, I'm not the Supreme Lord. And so in this way he met various persons. He also observed Some had many different forms. Some had 10 heads or more. They had various types of forms, just like David has had different forms. So all these different forms were passing through the gates of Vaikuntha to see the Lord. He also observed that some of these forms, they were passing there, going on their way to entering the gates, they would change their form. They could change into a tree or a bird or an animal or anything they wanted to, their free will. So they had great powers to change their form at will. But it's also explained that they would change their forms, not whimsically, but in trying to serve the Lord, they would sometimes change their forms. But then they would come back to their original form again. So in other words, though the form seems to be fixed, they can change their form temporarily into something else. So in this way, there are a great variety of forms there, with like different devatas, etc. And they were all there to serve the Supreme Lord. So finally, the Vishnu Dutas, who had taken him up from Mathura in the material world, they came back and they began to lead him through the gates. And when he was going through the different gates, it's like a city with walls around it. And then within that, there's another wall. And within that, there's another wall. Within that, there's another wall, like we see in Sri Rangam. It's a city with 7 walls, concentric walls, and there's the gates at each level. So the Vishnu Dutas took him through the different gates, and each gate there were Vishnu Dutas. And when he saw those Vishnu Dutas, the guards, like Jai and Vijay, are the outer guards, and there's inner guards, 2 guards in the next gate, 2 guards in the next gate, 2 guards in the next gate. So there's many, many guards, and not only on the front door, but at the side door, the back door also. So there's 4 gates, 4 gates with layers inside also. And so there are many, many doorkeepers there. But each time he saw the doorkeepers, he thought that this must be Vishnu because they were so beautiful. But then they said, no, we're not Vishnu, we're the servants of Vishnu. So after all of that, finally he got to, from a distance, he could see the form of Vishnu, the Lord of Vaikuntha. And he was sitting on a golden throne, which was glimmering with all sorts of jewels. He got great ecstasy when he saw that Lord. He got very excited. And he began crying out, Gopal, Gopal, Lord of my life, even though he was actually a different form from Krishna. And he began running towards the Lord to embrace him, as he had run towards Jagannath in Puri. He got very excited, so he wanted to embrace the Supreme Lord. Unfortunately, they wouldn't allow him to do that. They had warned him previously, when you see the Lord, you have to be very formal. But he got so excited that he just ran towards the Lord and tried to embrace him, so they stopped him. The Supreme Lord, however, was very, very kind to him, and he welcomed Gopukumar. Even though he was acting like a king on a huge throne, he said, I'm very fortunate to meet you. I've been eager to see you. And then he explains that actually he was that guru who had appeared previously 3 times to Gopukumar. And he had been praying for many lifetimes of Gopukumar in his previous lifetimes that he would be a devotee. And then finally, he came himself personally to the Supreme Lord as his guru, and then gave him the mantra in Vrindavan. And that was the beginning of his devotional service. So actually that guru had been the Supreme Lord himself in the form of Vishnu. So this is the explanation that Vishnu gave to Gopukumar at this time. So very, very merciful Supreme Lord. So Gopukumar was in Vaikuntha, and of course it was pleasing because he got to see the Lord directly there. And this form of the Lord was also very merciful to him. The people there had a different mood, and when they saw Gopukumar, they tried to persuade him to show some powers.
like the Vishnu Dutas could have powers and change their forms or manifest objects, etc. And they said, you have to get a form, a forearm form, because you look very strange. In Vaikuntha, there's no one that looks like you, a little cowherd boy. So you should change your form and have a form like everybody else and get decorated with gold and jewels and crowns and armlets and anklets and radiant clothes, etc. Look like everybody else. But he refused to do that. He was not really interested in that at all. Of course, everything there was spiritual, so there was nothing really wrong with it. But he was not interested in manifesting powers or manifesting the beautiful, opulent forms of Vaikuntha at all. So in that sense, he was a little bit disturbed by that suggestion from certain persons there. They also advised him, don't address the Lord like this as Gopal. Don't do kirtan. Just recite standard prayers, you know, the set prayers that are there, and praise him for his, you know, powers and glory, etc. So you should act very formal and just recite prayers to him, and don't sing about him and do kirtan. So this is what some of the residents were advising him to do. This, again, was not so comfortable for him. And, of course, he expected to see the cowherd form of Krishna, Gopal, but he didn't see that form. He saw this Vishnu form. But remarkably, this Vishnu form was also very kind. So this Vishnu form could also change his form, just as the, you know, Vishnu Dutas could change their form into anything they wanted. So this Vishnu would change into a cowherd boy. And he'd be surrounded by cowherd boys, and they'd be playing their flutes and doing all sorts of things there in Vaikuntha. So sometimes the Lord would show that, and then Gopukumar was a little bit satisfied when he saw that. But still, it was not quite proper, because again, those forms would disappear, and then Vishnu would come back to his other form again. So because he saw had a reverential attitude towards that Vishnu form, he could not quite feel that place. And he was dissatisfied. Other people in Vaikuntha were a little more kind to Gopukumar. They didn't discourage him from by saying he should have a forearm form or shouldn't do his kirtans, etc. They said that actually Vishnu was also pleased with kirtan. Therefore you can continue to do that, satisfying our master because with kirtan, because Krishna is pleased with kirtan, Vishnu is also pleased with kirtan. So they tried to encourage him. Narada Muni appeared when he was in Vaikuntha. And then Narada Muni gives a long explanation of what to do next. And he also gave a nice explanation of devotional service in general. So he explains that if you go to Vaikuntha, you get a service that you had longed for and you had developed a taste for when you practiced in the material world. So in other words, whatever we practice as a sadhana here becomes perfected when we go to the spiritual world. So we should determine our goal and the form of the Lord, etc., when we're here, and that's what we get when we go to the spiritual world. So in other words, the sadhana determines the sadhya, the perfection. So whatever we long for in terms of perfect service to the Lord, we will eventually attain that in the spiritual world. And if we long for service with all the details, a particular service, particular form, particular dress, etc., that's what we get in the spiritual world. So we practice now in detail, then that's what we get in the spiritual world. So in other words, the Supreme Lord responds to our particular type of devotion, and we get what is most suitable for us and what we prefer in the spiritual world. Now, so in Vaikuntha, we have the form of Vishnu, but actually there are many forms there in Vaikuntha. So if you want to worship Narasimhadeva in that particular form, then that's what you achieve, and you get Narasimhadeva and you worship him in the particular mood, or Varaha, or any other form of the Lord. So it's not only Vishnu. There are many other forms in Vaikuntha with a similar mood. And if one worships them, one will attain that form. Some devotees are attracted to one form, and therefore they attain one form. Some devotees worship many forms. They're not exclusively attached to one form. They may worship many forms, or a few forms. So what do they get in perfection? In perfection, they worship many forms also. So they can see different forms of the Lord. The devotion is a little bit less strong. It's not so strong, but nevertheless, they can worship different forms in the spiritual world also. So they get opportunity to worship many forms because they worship many forms here. So Narada Muni also explained Krishna. And he explained that Krishna is, of course, he is also another form of the Lord, but he's quite different from Narayan or Vishnu. He manifests many qualities that Vishnu does not manifest. Some very sweet, charming qualities that only special devotees who have a special type of prema can realize. So this makes Krishna quite different. And that is why Gopa Kumar was not really satisfied in Vaikuntha with the Vishnu forms. So different devotees attain different forms of the Lord, and Krishna is the highest. Still, other persons will prefer to worship different forms. So some will worship Vishnu, some will worship Rama, some will worship Narasimhadeva. And they get the greatest happiness in that service. So we can never criticize them for that, because that's the perfect happiness for those particular devotees, whatever they achieve. So we don't disturb them and criticize them for their worship. The Lord rewards everybody according to their type of worship, and they're satisfied with that. They never feel discontented with that. So the special feature of prema is that prema controls the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord, who's supposed to be independent, is not independent because he's controlled by the devotees. So because of that, he doesn't give prema so often, because then he has to be controlled by the devotee. So in the nectar devotion, we talked about how one of the characteristics of bhakti was durlabha, sudurlabha. Bhakti is very rare. So Krishna's merciful, why doesn't he give bhav bhakti and prem bhakti? So of course one answer is that nobody's qualified. The gyanis and yogis certainly cannot get, only devotees can get. But another reason is that the Lord doesn't like to give because he has to get controlled by the devotee, so that it's a little rare for that reason also. With Gana and Yoga, he can give the results, liberation, because he's not controlled there at all. He's got no relation to the Supreme Lord, but bhakti, he falls under control. So therefore, you have to get special mercy to get prema. So, though the Lord becomes dependent on the devotee, that is not a fault. The Lord is independent, that's his very definition. To say he's dependent may look like a fault, because it's contrary, he's not independent anymore, but actually it isn't a fault. Rather, it shows the great attraction of the Lord to his devotee. He has great affection for the devotee, so showing affection is never a fault. If the Lord is independent and shows no affection, then that would be a fault. But the Lord is independent, has affection, and therefore, because of that affection, he gives up his completely independent nature. So therefore, that lack of independence that he shows for devotees is not a fault at all. Uh, So Narada Muni finally he explains about the speciality of prema, and especially prema for Krishna being very special. Any type of prema controls the Lord. So we see that Ambarisha has prema, and he controls Vishnu, so that Vishnu gives his Sudarshan Chakra to Ambarish. So even Vishnu is under control of the devotee, but Krishna's more under control of the devotee. So therefore, in Krishna, we have extraordinary pastimes, like Krishna getting tied up by Mother Yasoda. So no other form of the Lord will do that. Vishnu doesn't get tied up. Rama doesn't get tied up like that. But Krishna gets tied up because of Mother Yasoda and her devotion. So Krishna shows extreme control by the devotee that others don't show. Yeah. So the prema for Krishna is very special. And that prema for Krishna reaches a level that is not seen in any other form of the Lord. That is the Mahabhava. That's the highest type of prema. So that's the highest stage of devotional service. And it gives the highest type of most intense bliss or joy possible. And for that reason, the gopis are considered the highest devotees because they can experience Mahabhava. The queens of Dwarka do not experience Mahabhava. They can experience Anuraga, but not Mahabhava. So this is only for the devotees in Vrindavan, and especially the gopis. So it's the highest type of bliss, but it, peculiarly, it looks like it's the worst because it shows the greatest distress. So the gopis have the highest bliss, but when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, they are suffering the most. Everybody in Vrindavan suffers when Krishna goes, but the gopis suffer the most. So the gopis have Mahabhava, but then they experience what seems to be the greatest suffering, so it doesn't look like the greatest bliss anymore. That actually is only an external thing. So it was explained previously that within that Mahabhava is also the greatest, and the separation in Mahabhava, there's also the greatest bliss. So separation also has bliss within it. So we should not be deceived by external appearances. When that state of separation takes place, the Lord cannot tolerate that type of separation, so eventually he arranges for union with the devotees again. So the separation is never eternal. So Narada Muni explained a lot about bhakti to Gopa Kumar, and then he orders him to go to Ayodhya and Dwarka. He doesn't have him go directly to Goloka, but to go through Ayodhya and Dwarka, and there he can see different levels of bhakti for different forms of the Lord. Of course, in Dwarka he'll see Krishna, but even that is a little bit different from Goloka. In Ayodhya he sees a form which is, let's say, superior to the Vishnu form, and the bhakti is a little bit more intimate. So by seeing these two places and the Lord there, he can Gopa Kumar can understand there's different levels within the spiritual world of the bhakti also. So eventually he got to Ayodhya in the spiritual world, and there he saw Ramchandra, who was sitting on his throne in the wonderful palace, and he had all marks of a very great person. He was something like Narayana, but at the same time a little bit different. Of course, Ramchandra had a bow in his hand. He was very modest and humble, very polite. He was acting like a perfect king. So though he was a king, he was also very civil and polite. And he was talking about following rules of religious behavior, that is dharma, etc. So he was acting like an ideal king. In that sense, he had a little more human quality than Lord of Vaikuntha. That's because we see Lord Ramchandra in his pastimes, he acts as a ruler of the people. on earth. So he's human-like in many ways. Still, it was a little different from the form of Krishna. was not quite the same. He couldn't feel the same mercy there. So in spite of being a little more satisfied than in Vaikuntha, he was also feeling a little dissatisfaction. So then Ramchandra spoke to him very compassionately. And he said, you go to Dwarka and be happy there, because there's Krishna in Dwarka. So then Ramchandra arranged for Gopakumar to go to Dwarka with the chief of the bearers. So he went off to Dwarka. Oops, well, that's the end here. Okay, maybe can I finish it today? There's another portion here. Unless there's questions. I'm trying to finish it. Okay, three. Okay. So this is part three, but it's the same section. There's only two sections to the book, actually, but this is a long section. So, finally he got to Dwarka. And there he saw Krishna. So this form had two arms. It was Krishna. He was young and very attractive to his devotees. And he saw Gopakumar and he asked about him, how are you? Is your health good? I hope that where you came from is free of misfortune. But then he was feeling a little disturbed. Krishna was feeling disturbed, and Uddhava had to calm him down. And of course the reason is that he was thinking of Vrindavan, even he was in Dwarka. So this was somewhat satisfying because it was actually a Krishna form. But it was also a little different. It was something like Vaikuntha because it was actually more splendorous, more grand than Vaikuntha. And the people there, again, discouraged him because they say, you should dress up like us. Don't act like a cowherd boy or a forest dweller. You should put on some very, rich, opulent clothing and act like we act here. So though Krishna was there, the Yadus were also involved in this grand aspect of the Supreme Lord. So Narada Muni came again. He had visited him in Vaikuntha. Now he visits him in Dwarka. And Gopakumar began to wonder, how does Narada Muni appear in all these different places? So then Narada Muni explained that like Krishna can be in different places simultaneously or whenever he wills, so the servants of the Lord also could appear in different places by their will. So Narada Muni can appear in the material world, he can appear in Vaikuntha, he can appear in Ayodhya, he can appear in Dwarka, like that. So he can appear in all sorts of places. He is not limited. He doesn't have a material body. So, according to the will of the Lord, they can manifest various forms, just like the Lord. So, in Dwarka, Gopakumar stayed with Uddhava, because, as I mentioned, Uddhava was transitional. He had the mood of Dwarka, plus he had the mood of Vrindavan, so this was more comforting for Gopakumar. So Narada Muni, he came there and then he saw Uddhava and he explained that this cowherd boy here, Gopakumar, he was born originally near Govardhan and he's seeking something that we cannot get. You stay here in Dwarka, I'm traveling other places, but we can't attain that place where Krishna stays as a cowherd boy. But he is striving for that. So he's very remarkable. And he's wandered all over the universe and outside the universe in the spiritual world, and still he's unsatisfied. And of course, it was explained that previously other people are satisfied. They attain Ramchandra, they're very satisfied. They attain Vishnu, they're all satisfied. But Gopakumar, wherever he goes, he's not satisfied. He's a very remarkable person. Narada Muni explains to Gopakumar that there is a place called Goloka. It's beyond all the other places, beyond Vaikuntha, beyond Ayodhya, and beyond Dwarka. That's the ultimate place, very, very far away. That Goloka also appears within the material world as Rajabhumi or Vrindavan. And you can't reach that place unless you have the purest prema, which is similar to the prema of the people of Vrindavan. So that is why in Nectar Devotions explained that if you want to go to that place in the spiritual world where Krishna is a cowherd boy, then you have to follow after the people of Vrindavan and have a prema similar to their prema. So that was Raghunuga Bhakti. So you have to have a prema similar to the prema of the people of Vrindavan. So if you concentrate on the Lord's powers and His magnificence, then you can't get that type of prema. Because in that mood, you have reverence and awe. But in Vrindavan, there's no such thing. So you can't attain Goloka if you have that mood. So that place is very, very special. The trees are desire trees, and they can give you anything you want. Still, in Vrindavan, even though it has more powers than Vaikuntha or whatever, those powers are not revealed, as they'll obstruct the pastimes. So Narada Muni gives a whole long description of the wonders of Krishna in Vrindavan. So he talks about his beauty. Krishna has very special beauty, which is part of his form. And in second part of, southern part of Nectar Devotion there, when it's talking about Krishna, then he has four special qualities. So one is his Madhurya Rupa, that's his sweet form, so that's his, includes his beauty. And then when we talk about the six opulences of the Lord, Jnana, Vairagya, Virya, Aishvarya, etc., one of them is Shri. So Shri is beauty again. So the beauty of Krishna is very, very special. He gives many, many verses, but just to summarize, he is so beautiful that even he is amazed by his own beauty. And the cows and the birds and the bushes and the creepers and trees, they all become ecstatic on seeing that beautiful form of Krishna. Another speciality is the flute. So that was also one of the four items which were very special about Krishna, his Madhurya Venu, his very sweet flute. So sometimes we wonder, well, what a flute? This one's one thing. What about he has other things? He has a garland, he has a horn, he has so many things. Why flute is so special? But if we look at the Bhagavatam, actually, we see the flute is praised an awful lot by the gopis. And when he plays his flute, then all the other living entities get completely enchanted as well. So this flute is very special. It is just a small object, a little wooden object, the sound is sweeter than all of the Vedas or any other form of speech. We find that the Supreme Lord as Vishnu or Hayagriva produces the Vedas from his mouth. But Krishna plays his flute. That sound is more spectacular than the sound of all the Vedas and Upanishads. It has more knowledge in it, more meaning in it than all the other scriptures combined. So when anyone hears that flute, they become completely ecstatic. So the devatas and the mystics, the yogis and other entities flying around in the sky, when they hear that sound, they become completely bewildered. And the wives become bewildered. And Indra and Shiva and Brahma, they become completely bewildered as well.
So they can no longer understand what is true and what is not true, etc. Such is the sweetness of that flute sound. So great sages who are in samadhi, their samadhi is broken when they hear that sound of the flute, because they get greater ecstasy from that. And even the moon and the planets stop functioning because of the sound of the flute, which means time stops because of the flute. The moving creatures become immobile. So like the birds, suddenly they cannot fly anymore. They're just standing on the tree and they can't do anything. Or the cows stop eating and they can't do anything. It's opposite. The inanimate objects, like the trees and the grass, they start moving. Like the trees begin to move their branches around or whatever like that. They start quivering in ecstasy. Conscious beings become unconscious. They faint. And unconscious beings, they get conscious. So the rocks begin to melt in ecstasy. The water suddenly freezes, it stops flowing like this. The trees begin to shed tears, things like this. So different entities, they change their qualities because of this and become opposite. And it's all because of the hearing the sound of the flute. They get a type of prema, an ecstasy out of that. A sweet type of prema, I guess. So another extraordinary feature is the rasa dance. Now, of course, in the four qualities of Krishna, one is Madhurya Lila. Krishna has very sweet pastimes. So, and then it's explained that of all the pastimes, the sweetest pastime is the rasa lila. That's the center of the whole Bhagavatam. So this is the most extraordinary pastime. This is a feature of Vrindavan, Krishna and Vrindavan. So that rasa dance displays the highest sweetness and the highest bliss, the highest prema, highest love. But it is so exalted that even Lakshmi cannot enter into it. And Lakshmi is the wife of Vishnu, but she cannot enter in. So it's only reserved for those persons who have this special type of prema. Well, actually, it's described that even the devatas cannot see the Rasa-lila, because they're men. The moon cannot see it also, because he's a male as well. So what they do see, they see Krishna there. They don't see the gopis. And they can see Krishna dancing, but they don't see the gopis dancing with Krishna. So they can see a little bit of the Rasa-lila, Krishna. Yeah? So, Krishna cleverly arranged all the gopis in a big circle, and Krishna expanded himself, so he was actually with each gopi. So there were 3 billion gopis in the Rasa-lila in a big circle, and Krishna was also with each gopi. So there were 3 billion Krishnas also there. And then there was Krishna in the middle with Radha as well. But each gopi could not see the millions of Krishnas there. They could only see Krishna with them personally. That was the expert arrangement of Krishna. And they were in the circle, and they were all dancing and singing and playing musical instruments. So there were all sorts of things in this circle when they were having the rasa dance. So the singing was the most attractive scene in the universe, and the dancing was the most extraordinary dancing. So it was a remarkable arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And it all expressed the love and the joy of Madhurya Rasa. So, all the people of Vrindavan, all the inhabitants are attracted to Krishna there. That's the other point, the Madhurya, the fourth point, is that The Lord Krishna in Vrindavan has all sorts of sweet devotees in intimate relationships with him, and they're all most attracted to him because he's a cowherd boy. So, and they know him only as the son of Nanda Maharaj, not as Supreme Lord, and they're all very attracted to him. So everyone in Vrindavan has that intimate love for Krishna.
So, though there is that great love for Krishna, there's also separation there. Krishna disappears sometimes, and then people feel the greatest misery and separation. It's in that separation that the highest aspects of prema are manifested. So that's why Krishna disappears, so that the highest type of prema can manifest. Krishna is the rarest. It's very difficult to attain Krishna because he is the highest form. And the scriptures themselves do not speak about Krishna so much, because most people are interested in getting material assets and artha and kama. There are lots of scriptures for that. But to get the artha and kama, you have to do dharma. So we have a lot of scriptures explaining dharma. Less people are interested in liberation, moksha. So there's less scriptures about that. Less people are interested in bhakti. So there's even less scriptures about bhakti. And getting prema for Krishna, there's less people who are qualified. So there's less scriptures about that. So people say, well, why isn't Krishna mentioned in the Vedas? Why is not mentioned in the Upanishads, etc.? So this is the reason why bhakti is for Krishna is very rare. So therefore, we have rare scriptures about that. Of course, we do have Bhagavatam, etc. Because it's so rare, therefore, we have less scriptures, but nevertheless, bhakti to Krishna is the rarest thing of all, so then there's the fewest scriptures about that. So, ultimately, the Krishna scriptures are the rarest, but they're also the topmost scriptures. And ultimately, what is that scripture? Is the Bhagavatam. This is the scripture that explains about Krishna's pastimes in detail. And so it's one scripture, but it's also the highest scripture. So because it's rare, it does not mean it is less. It means it's the highest. So Narada Muni also glorifies the gopis. How does he do that? He quotes Uddhava. So in the Bhagavatam we find how Uddhava glorifies the love of the gopis. We find even Akura, he glorifies the gopis. We find Bhishma glorifying the gopis. The women of Hastinapur glorifying the gopis. So the gopis are glorified by all sorts of people. What is the method of attaining Braja? Special mercy. Getting prema, following after the people of Vrindavan. It may arise spontaneously by Krishna's mercy, but that's very rare. The other is by practice, sadhana. One must get a strong desire to serve the Lord, just like the people, the cowherd people of Vrindavan serve Krishna. That's the method of getting that. In serving the Lord, following after the people of Vrindavan, we do bhakti. And main processes are like doing kirtan and glorifying Krishna in Vrindavan and meditating on those pastimes as well. When we do sankirtan of the Lord's holy names and glorify his devotees in the company of people whose only taste is for devotional service, then we can invoke that highest type of prema. So sankirtan is the highest, most effective method of developing that vraja prema for Krishna. So then it's part of raganuga sadhana as well. One should also reside in the holy place of Krishna. So that, of course, is one of the five types of bhakti, the powerful thing, to reside in the dhamma of the Lord. So it's also very favorable because you can remember the Lord. And we see that Gopakumara was told to come back and wander in the forest and remember the Lord, and that's how he could get his perfection. So it's a very powerful form. Okay, another point here is dānya, or humility, or feeling very low. Bhakti
is different from karma, jnana, and yoga. In bhakti, there's indifference to those processes. And it has within it this utter humility, which the other processes don't have. And for instance, in the jnana, they want the merge into Brahman, so they're more equal to Brahman. There's no humility there at all. And in the karma yoga, you're trying to get the swarga loka and enjoy like a devata, so there's no humility there. So bhakti by its nature has, its intrinsic factor is humility. So what's the definition of dānya? One always thinks oneself exceptionally incapable and low, even if you're endowed with all excellences, all wonderful qualities, etc., and you're most capable, you feel yourself the lowest of all. That is what dānya means. So the dānya is intrinsic to bhakti, and as bhakti progresses, that dānya becomes more apparent. And if you get prema, then it is very evident. And if the prema reaches the highest level, as it does in the gopis, then that dānya reaches its ultimate highest peak. So the gopis have the highest prema and the highest humility. So if you can manifest the highest humility, you can also manifest the highest prema. So the cause is a cause and effect. One causes the other. Therefore, we see in the very beginning of bhakti, to chant the holy name, you have to be humbler than a blade of grass, or taller than a tree. So why is that emphasized by Lord Chaitanya? Because it's part of bhakti, and it's also part of the highest bhakti. It's intrinsic to it. It will cause the highest bhakti, highest prema. So, prema is the ultimate goal. We do sadhana, but we have to attain prema. So Narada Muni says, it's like, if you don't get the prema ultimately, it's like having your vegetables without salt. To get prema is the real taste. So you have to get the vegetable with the salt, not without the salt. Or it's like planting a garden and not getting the fruit. You plant your banana patch and you're going to eat bananas, so that's no good. You want to get bananas. So similarly, we do the bhakti, we want to attain prema. So if you want to understand prema, it is actually very difficult. But if you meet Radha, then you can understand what prema is. If she speaks about prema, then you can understand what it is. But we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very merciful, so he came with the mood of Radha. So there we can see that prema of Radha in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this gives us a little bit of an understanding of that high level of prema. But it's actually very inaccessible for people of this world. Narada Muni explains, you've gone to various places, and you went to Vaikuntha, you went to Ayodhya, you went to Dwaraka, but you didn't get the happiness you're expecting. In fact, you became more disturbed because it was not the form of the Lord that you expected. What to speak of the lower planets. So he says, you go back to Mathura again. The third time he's told to go back. And there your desire will finally be fulfilled. Okay, so then this is the last chapter, attaining all desires. So Narada Muni gave the instruction. So then Narada Muni, Gopal Kumar came back to Raja in the material world. And he was looking at the various places of Krishna's pastime, like Govardhan Hill, etc. And he was doing Nam Sankirtan, chanting the Lord's name loudly and sweetly, and concentrating his mind on the form of Krishna. And then Krishna appeared before him. And he had his flute in his hand, he had a lotus there as well. He touched him with his lotus hand. He felt very ecstatic. And of course Gopal Kumar fainted or fell to the ground, and then Krishna came and wiped the dust from his limbs. So
Then, when he fainted, and then Krishna helped him recover, then he started going again beyond the universe. He was in the material world in Vrindavan. He fainted, then he woke up, and he was traveling out of the universe again. And he went up past Vaikuntha Loka, and he saw Ayodhya and all the other spiritual realms. Yeah, etc. And then finally he arrived at Goloka. So the promise came true that he would, if he came to Vrindavan again, then he would end up in Goloka. Huh. So he passed through all these places, and finally he arrived at this very magnificent place called Goloka, and that had been his aspiration. And it actually looked just like the place in the material world where he was. And finally, he saw various things there, and then finally he saw Krishna approaching. He was coming with all the cowherd boys, returning from herding the cows, and he had his flute in his hand. And then he saw Krishna, and then Krishna saw Gopukumar, and he came forward. And he told Sri Dama, look, here's my friend Sarupa, who was related to Sri Dama. So he had a relationship with Sri Dama already. So he says, here's my friend Sarupa, look. He gave him a name. So before this, he didn't have a name, actually. So his guru would give him a mantra, he didn't give him a name. So this is the first time he got his name, Sarupa. So Krishna took him back to his house, where they met Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, etc. And then he observed how the gopis were bathing Krishna, and then Krishna took his meal, and he sat down, Sarupa there, we see in this picture here, Sarupa's there, and Krishna's giving him food to eat, prasadam, etc. And then he saw how Mother Yasoda put Krishna to sleep at night, and then Krishna would sneak out in the middle of the night and go for Rasalila. Then he would return in the morning. Then in the morning, he would wake up again, and he would milk the cows, he would eat his breakfast, and then he would go to the forest with all the cowherd boys. So Gopukumar was able to observe all these things. But Gopukumar, actually, in spite of the fact that Sanatana Goswami is praising, and Narada Muni are praising the Mahabhava of the gopis, Gopukumar became a cowherd boy in Sakyarasa. And he was very satisfied with that. So he was observing all the pastimes of Krishna there, herding the cows, etc. And every devotee felt that Krishna was personally with him. So no one felt left out, no one felt neglected. And Krishna responded to each devotee just as the devotee expected. So each devotee was always satisfied. Still, he noticed that actually Krishna has most affection for the gopis. They're the special people there. And then among the gopis, of course, then Krishna expands himself. Well, he can be with each gopi, but even there, then he shows special affection for a certain gopi, and then that gopi feels the dearest to Krishna. So, though Krishna is with all the devotees, etc., and the gopis are the most exalted, and then Krishna shows the most affection for them, the gopis have this dānya. So they never feel I'm the best, or that we're the best. So they think, when will I be fortunate enough to become even the lowest maidservant of Krishna? They put themselves in the most unqualified position, though they're the highest persons. So, in the other, like Vaikuntha, they have bliss also. They're different from the people of Goloka. They think everything is actually, the Lord distributes His mercy equally everywhere, because everybody has Dasya Rasa there in Vaikuntha, so they have a different little perception of things. One interesting factor was that he was observing in Goloka that the pastimes got repeated.
So their taming Kaliya, for instance, was a pastime, but it would happen again. Or Keshi demon, or Aristasura, or Akura taking Krishna away to Mathura. These happened several times. But remarkably, no one remembered it. So there was repetition of pastimes, but every time the pastime occurred, it was always fresh. So in this way, there was pastimes of separation, pastimes of meeting again. And by that union and separation, the love in Vrindavan kept growing and growing. And even Krishna could not remember. He was also overcome by the pastimes, and he couldn't remember the pastime that happened previously. So, Gopakumar was there, and he got this special benediction by which he could realize the repetition of pastimes, etc. And then he could also understand that the Vrindavan on earth was not different from the Goloka in the spiritual sky. And sometimes he could go either place. He was allowed to go one place to the other. He could transfer himself. And he thought there was no difference. And when he went to the material world, he would never be contaminated by anything in the material world. He would always be strictly within the Goloka, within the material world. This is the last chapter, actually. So this explains how Radha ordered Sarupa. You're my devotee. A devotee is coming. This is the Brahmana who was described in the first chapter, who got the Durga, the mantra from Durga Devi, and then began wandering around, whatever. So now Radha is describing that devotee is, he's my devotee, and he's coming to my grove. So you go today and give him some good instructions and help him attain Krishna's mercy. So then Gopakumar goes according to Radha's instruction, and he's in the forest of Kadamba trees there, in spite of the fact that he would miss Krishna's pastimes that day. He went and followed her instruction and went to meet the Brahmana there. So then we saw that the Brahmana had actually come there, and then he heard the crying, and then he finally discovered the cowherd boy there. And then Gopakumar was thinking, well, I have to tell all the pastimes that I've gone through in order that he can finally start chanting the holy name. So, because he'd also got the Gopal mantra, the mantra with Krishna's name in it, so he should attain also the same place. He explained, after he explained everything, the whole book, he explained this whole story, still something that was lacking. So he put his hand on the Brahmana's head, and then suddenly Sarupa got this experience. And he understood everything. And then finally, they were together, and then they both saw Krishna coming. And when Krishna saw these two devotees, Sarupa and the Brahmana, then he came running towards them. And then Krishna himself fainted and fell upon them, embracing them. So he began to praise the Brahmana. And the Brahmana was a little different because he didn't have the proper dress on. So then Krishna began to give him all of his ornaments. So he dressed the Brahmana in his ornaments. You know, Krishna had his garland and his other ornaments. And then when he was dressed up, then he looked like Sarupa. He became a cowherd boy. So they both attained cowherd boy bodies. Actually, the mantra is actually Gopi Janavallabha mantra. But they were somehow, they aspired to be cowherd boys, and they became cowherd boys with that mantra. Krishna took the two boys out with him, with the other cowherd boys, and they had pastimes in the forest. And then Krishna rested on a bed of leaves and flowers, and Sridhama provided a pillow for him. And the friends were reciting prayers and singing, fanning him, dressing him, massaging his feet and hands, etc. And then, in the evening, Krishna goes back to the village, and he left the new Brahmana in Sarup's hand, so Sarup could give him some guidance, and then he entered into the village again.
So that's more or less the end. So Parikshit ends the story now and by giving instructions to his mother. So he tells his mother, you should also reach Goloka, because this is the ultimate bliss. And there you can relish the pastimes of Krishna with his devotees at the highest level. But it's very rare. So you have to get the feet of devotees who have this type of love for Krishna. And when you get their mercy, then you can attain this type of love, which was the instruction given previously to Gopu Kumar also. Follow after the people of Vrindavan, develop the type of love, then you can enter into that those pastimes. So you have to have a special type of prema in order to enter into Goloka, a very special attachment to Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna. When you get that experience, then you get the highest level of satisfaction. He ends with a few quotations about showing the excellence of Goloka, because, as was explained, the glorification of Krishna is fewer. There's fewer works doing that than on glorifying Svargaloka or Vaikuntha. So the works glorifying Krishna and Goloka are less. But nevertheless, Sanatana Goswami, then he shows how the scriptures are describing Goloka by quoting from different works. He quotes from Harivamsa, which describes about Vaikuntha as the planet of the cows. So Goloka means planet of the cows. So it describes it above Vaikuntha as Goloka, planet of the cows. So in other words, it's superior, that place, and Krishna lives there. That's from Harivamsa. And Jaimini quotes verses from Brahma Samhita. So obviously a lot of the verses are about Krishna and Vrindavan, Govinda. So we have verses describing the gopis with Krishna in Madhurya Rasa. And of course there's quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam. One verse is, how greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd man, all the inhabitants of Rajabhumi. There's no limit to their good fortune because Krishna gave them prema, which is the highest bliss, eternal and complete. So this description means, this verse shows that this is the highest goal of all. And of course there's glorification of Radha in the Bhagavatam. Actually it's indirect because the gopis begin to describe the flute, but then our acharyas say this is actually Radharani speaking. My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute perform to enjoy the nectar of Damodar's lips independently and leave only the taste for us gopis for whom that nectar is actually meant? The rivers have their hairs standing on end, and its relatives, the trees, shed tears of pleasure, just as forefathers shed tears of joy on seeing the good fortune of their descendants. So she's praising the flute because he gets to touch Krishna's mouth, and then the gopis say, well, we don't get that privilege. So it's an expression of their humility also. And of course at the end of the Bhagavatam we have this very famous verse which summarizes all of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna shines eternally as the ultimate resort of all living entities and is also known as the son of Devaki and Yasoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious as well as every man who is impious. By his presence he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful smiling face always increases the desire of the gopis of Vrindavan and the women of Dwarka. So it ends, that verse ends with describing the gopis and Madhurya Rasa. So Janamanjaya was actually hearing from Jaimini. So at the end he says, I'm all successful for you, O Lord, O spiritual master, have given me the opportunity to relish the secret glories of Goloka. So Jaimini says, my dear boy, what you say is true. Anyone who hears or chants or meditates upon this narrative with devotion will achieve the abode of the Supreme. That's it. Okay, I think we're finished.